Today marks the third anniversary of the Brady Law, the landmark gun control measure that requires a waiting period and background check for over-the-counter gun sales. Yesterday, Attorney General Janet Reno spoke in support of a bill to strengthen the Brady Law. Many legislators have also proposed new gun control measures in the wake of last Sunday's attack at the Empire State Building. But gun control opponents point out that Florida, where the attacker bought his gun, had a 3-day waiting period, and that still didn't prevent the sale. From New York, NPR's Margo Adler reports.
The debate over gun laws heated up last week when New York's Mayor Rudolph Giuliani held Florida's gun laws responsible for the Empire State Building attack.
I don't believe it's accidental that 3 of the top 5 cities in the United States for crime. Remember, New York is number 144. 3 out of the top 5 are in the state of Florida. We do a good job of making certain that people don't get guns in this city and in this state unless they go through a very rigorous background check. Other states do not do a good job of doing that, and they are exporting their guns to New York.
While some thought this statement self-serving, the mayor and the supporters of Brady have long claimed that only a tiny percent of the guns used in crimes in New York were bought in New York. Sarah Brady is the chair of Handgun Control, Inc. She is the wife of James Brady, the former Reagan administration press secretary who was wounded in the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan's life.
186,000 felons and other prohibited purchasers have been stopped from buying handguns due to background checks. It has been a wonderful success.
Other supporters of gun control say Brady's success has been partial. Michael Beard is the president of the Coalition Against Handgun Violence, an advocate of a total ban on handguns. Beard says the Brady Law just tinkers with the problem, but has had some good effects.
Since the bill has gone into effect under new rules that were in the bill, we've been able to cut the number of gun dealers in the United States by about 50%. So there are fewer people. The gun dealers are more responsible because of the new regulations that they've been able to have. So it's had a very important impact.
On the other side, the National Rifle Association says the Empire State Building shooting points out the weakness of gun control laws. Spokesman Tom Wild.
There was a mosaic of laws in place, from New York City's restrictive licensing law that has been in place since 1911, to the 90-day residency requirement for legal aliens in this country, to the 3-day waiting period, and so forth. These things fail to deter crime.
And some academics support this position. James Wright, a sociology professor at Tulane University and the author of 3 books on gun issues, says the fight for Brady was a political struggle irrelevant to stopping violent crime.
Nobody on either side of that debate ever believed for a minute that passing a national 5-day waiting period would have any discernible effect on the crime rate or the violence rate. That's not what it was about. It was a question of, can we, the gun control people, beat the NRA on this issue? That was all that it was about. And the answer was yes, they could.
Wright even accuses Brady supporters of lying. And while that may be hyperbole, underneath is an uncomfortable fact that all sides acknowledge. Let's say 186,000 felons or prohibited people were prevented from getting guns under Brady.
What we don't know is how many of those people then went out and got a gun someplace else, because buying a gun new in a gun store is not the only way to get a gun.
David Kennedy is a researcher at Harvard University's Kennedy School. So one side says we prevented these people from getting guns. The other side says they probably got guns anyway.
The truth is clearly somewhere in the middle.
Kennedy says even in New York, with strict gun laws, there is a vigorous illicit trade and no one has the will to take it on. He argues that there are some 20,000 different contradictory gun laws nationwide.
Trying to figure out even what the law is in a particular jurisdiction can be an absolute nightmare. And when you stand back from this incredibly complicated warp and woof of state and local and municipal and federal regulations, it doesn't add up to a sensible and coherent system.
There are some who argue that gun laws, like drug laws, are almost impossible to enforce. There will always be a thriving black market. Sociologist James Wright argues that given some 250 million guns in the United States,
that's enough to supply every conceivable nefarious purpose for a long, long time. And even if you could somehow pass the magic magnet over the country and get rid of all those guns, well, they can't be a whole hell of a lot more difficult to import illegally than drugs are, for example.
And when Sarah Brady is asked, aren't people going to get guns anyway, she answers the way people on the other side of the drug issue answer.
Could be, but you don't have to hand it to them. you make it awful darn hard. I don't think probably stopping all gun violence is ever going to be possible. Certainly no other nation has been able to do that. But we do not have to make it easy.
Meanwhile, as gun control advocates seek to strengthen Brady and opponents take their case to the Supreme Court, the debate over guns is becoming increasingly global. Michael Beard of the Coalition Against Handgun Violence.
The United Nations is going to be looking at the issue. UNESCO is already looking at it. The Pan American Health Organization has asked the World Health Organization to research the problem.
And the National Rifle Association has recently received non-government organization status at the United Nations as part of its international lobbying efforts against gun regulation. Meanwhile, while Mayor Rudolph Giuliani argues that better gun control would have prevented the Empire State tragedy, sociologist James Wright says the tragedy had to do with deeper causes. Dying for a cause and killing for it, he says, are two sides of the same coin.
And yet we think there's something ennobling about a passion so deep or a cause so important that you're willing to die for it. Well, if you're willing to die for it, you're willing to kill for it. I think in the end, that's what the Empire State Building teaches us.
But gun law proponents say if there are fewer guns and tighter gun regulations, perhaps public gunplay will finally become as rare as it is in most Western nations. I'm Margo Adler reporting.